It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. You can also find us, by the way, at rightsideradio.org. No matter where you are in the world, go to rightsideradio.org. It's our website. You'll find all kinds of stuff on there about, you know, things like mine and Copper's bios, what we're doing with the show these days, things that we've published in writing, because we do, she and I both do writing, especially for 1819 News. I've got a new one out today. We've also got all of the podcasted elements of the show. So if you're not, you know, familiar with how we do this, literally every single day we do the show, Copper then breaks the show down. What do you think, Copper? How many segments of each day do you come out with? Somewhere around like what, 8, 9, 10 segments a day? What? Okay, 6 to 8. But we've gone up again, by the way, our downloads. So right now we are at 17,400 downloads plus of people that go to the website. They can then download sections of the show. If you missed one, if you want to send a clip of one to a friend to listen to, or if you want to rehear something, all you got to do is go to our website, rightsideradio.org, and it'll hook you up with a podcasted element you can download to your phone or to your car or whatever the case may be. Listen to it while you drive. And I'm just saying, apparently a lot of people are doing that. So I'm honored by that, and we thank you. But that's a whole lot of stuff right there at our website, rightsideradio.org. We're also, you know, last week we introduced one of our new characters. We're just calling him Birdman for right now. But Birdman is doing, whereas Copper does the in-house tech, he does the out-house tech. So he is working on right now setting up a merchandising page where you'll be able to order Right Side swag, if you will. And we'll have that hopefully up and running sometime in the near future. All right, I'm changing gears. All right, that was, we're triple dipper in here. So triple dipper one was COVID mixed messages, and there was a ton of them. Triple dipper number two, as I check off my list, is the weaponization of government agencies and really the mainstream media. And I use that story about Alabama being talked about as a state that won't help anybody flush their toilets. And it's just absolutely, it's just, I was about to say it's crap, but that would be a pun. That would be an awful pun. But it was funny. Anyway, all that to say, here we go. I know Copper's laughing. Copper, just go ahead and admit it. You wrote ha-ha on the board. I see it up there. It's. But dad jokes can be funny. I don't care what anybody says. Anyway, here's the next one. Number three on the triple dipper. I just called it Ding Dong, the BBB is dead. All right, so if you haven't heard the news, and right now it is the news. I saved this one for last. The BBB, the Build Back Better, which some call the Build Back Broke program, the spending spree that's being touted by progressives in D.C. along with the Biden administration, they want so much money to do so many things that no one ever should ask government to do. Like I mentioned it earlier, one of the things that Copper and I laughed about on the air one day was tree equity. Remember tree equity, Copper? Remember that one? Tree equity? Does that strike a memory? Oh, I'm sorry. Tree equity? Remember tree equity? Oh, yeah. Go grab the phones. Yeah, I'll keep talking. But the reality is this. The Build Back Better program was originally scheduled for upwards of a $6 trillion expense. That's what Bernie Sanders wanted. It got scaled back when they realized ain't no way in God's green earth anyone was going to vote for that. So they scaled it back to like $3.5 trillion. And then they finally had to scale it back even further, and it was like to $1.75 trillion, except that many of the provisions and programs that it was going to create were so big and so unwieldy that they were not expected to be able to be turned off in the short amount of time that the bill said they would. So the bill was creating things that had a short suspense, like 3-4 years. Nobody in D.C. believes for a second that if you start a program and claim it's going to last for 3 or 4 years, that they won't try to reinstate it? Of course they will. So they had it rescored by the Congressional Budget Office, who came out with about a $10 trillion expense if you extend it out over, I'm sorry, was it 10 trillion? 10 years at 6 trillion. Lord, it was unbelievable. But all that to say, it is dead. Because this weekend, what happened was this. Major coup for Bret Baier, who is now hosting, what's it called? The show on Sundays on Fox. I just forgot the name of the show. Oh, Lord. Anyway, he was interviewing, Bret Baier was interviewing Senator Joe Manchin. I'm sorry, I got distracted by all the paper I got on my desk. He was interviewing Senator Joe Manchin, and he literally asked him flat out, Senator Manchin, what are you going to do? To which Manchin said for the first time unequivocally, this thing is dead. He's a hard no. Keep in mind, we have a 50-50 split in the Senate right now. Doesn't matter what happened to the House. If it has to go through the Senate, you got a 50-50 split. 50 Republicans, 50 senators. The potential exists for a tiebreaker if it's split by the vice president coming in and casting a presiding splitting vote. All right. That being said, it didn't work because Manchin's been holding out, and Manchin indicated this week he's a hard no. Copper, I forgot to mention to you during the break, but go ahead if you would please and get clip one ready for me and let me know when you've got that. So here's the deal. Manchin shoots down. I'm looking at a story right now from Washington Examiner. So on the Washington Examiner, Michael Barone, writing for the Washington Examiner, says, Joe Manchin has ended any suspense about whether he will support in any form the Biden Democrats' Build Back Better legislation. He dropped the hammer on Fox News Sunday. That's what it was. Fox News Sunday. Thank you. Need more caffeine. He says, the curious thing is, though, that anybody's surprised. And I agree. The curious thing is that anybody was even surprised. Barone says, in this era of highly partisan, polarized politics, there's a close relationship between how people vote for president and members of Congress and how they respond to the issues. And if you look at it, Biden won just 51% of the popular vote in his election. His average job approval is at 44%, with 50% disapproving. And then if you count all of those, discount all the percentages by a few points to get an idea where he and his party are right now, you realize he didn't have the ability to move this thing. He didn't have the political clout. And then you go and look at the fact that there's only a few states, only a few, where a Democrat senator could win in a Trump won state. Joe Manchin is one of the very few. West Virginia only gave Biden 30% of its votes. And Biden, I mean, Manchin won by a close margin last time. What did you think he was going to do? Well, Copper, if you got clip one, let's go ahead and listen to clip one, and then I'll come back and get that phone call in just 1 second. But clip one is Senator Joe Manchin putting the stake in the heart of this BBB bill on with Bret Baier on Fox News Sunday. Go ahead and play clip one.
Joining us now, Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia. Senator, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
Good to be with you, Brett.
Senator, you're at the center of this negotiation with the president over his social spending and tax bill, a bill, the Build Back Better bill, that is not coming up in the Senate before the new year, in part largely because of your reservations. Without you, the leadership doesn't have the votes it needs. So today, right now, what's the state of play?
Well, Brett, you know, this is a mammoth piece of legislation, and I had my reservations from the beginning when I heard about it 5.5 months ago, and I've been working diligently every day and every minute of every day. I've been working on this, meeting with whether it be the president, President Biden, whether it be Majority Leader Schumer and his staff, whether it be with Nancy Pelosi, all of my colleagues, I mean, from all different spectrums of the political spectrum, if you will, from the right to the left. I've done everything humanly possible. And you know my concerns I had, and I still have these concerns, and where I'm at right now, the inflation that I was concerned about, it's not transitory, it's real, it's harming every West Virginian. It's making it almost difficult for them to continue to go to their jobs, the cost of gasoline, the cost of groceries, the cost of utility bills, all of these things are hitting in every aspect of their life. And you start looking, and then you have the debt that we're carrying at $29 trillion. You have also the geopolitical unrest that we have. You have the COVID variant, and that is wreaking havoc again. People are concerned. I've been with my family. I know everyone's concerned. So when you have these things coming at you the way they are right now, I've always said this, Brett, if I can't go home and explain it to the people of West Virginia, I can't vote for it. And I cannot vote to continue with this piece of legislation. I just can't. I've tried everything humanly possible. I can't get there.
You're done. This is a no.
This is a no.
All right, stop there. I have tried. Stop there. Stop there. This is a no. All right, I'm going to do more of that in a minute, but let me do this. I want to step aside. There's a lady who called a while ago on the last segment. So just keep in mind, folks, that I'm doing a segment right now on the Build Back Better bill and Joe Manchin's vote and what that means going forward. But let me do this. Linda from Muscle Shoals called in earlier. She called in right as we're going to a break. I couldn't get it. She was not able to hang on for a little bit, so she's called back. So let me just do this. I'm going to jump on line two and go back to my previous segment's discussion. Linda from Muscle Shoals. Hey, Linda. Phil Williams on Right Side. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. What can I do for you?
Okay. Well, I'm calling in Ray of your discussion about Alabama and the sewage and septic laws.
That's right.
And I live in Muscle Shoals, as I mentioned, and in 1973, they ran a sewer line down our street as they paved it. And each citizen was assessed their portion to pay both paving and sewage with the option to connect at their leisure, like you mentioned.
Right.
And so eventually we decided to connect. We paid, got that hooked up, and then we began to have problems after about 5 or so years because we were on the lowest part of the street.
Oh, yeah.
And as subdivisions were added and trucks ran over the lines, even ever how deep they were, it was cracking the terracotta lines, and we began to get sewage back up. And that began our saga with the city. And I really wasn't aware of the law, just like phone lines, how they're divided, if it's on your property, et cetera. We finally got so bad, they did come and put a backflow valve to keep
right.
it from coming into our house. But that was after I appeared on a TV show.
Good for you. Well, yeah, you're right. And the placement of the backflow valve is also important. If the city was supposed to have placed it at the top at the city line, then it's their problem. But if there's a stoppage in the city line, it's their problem. But if you can show that if they can show though that it was something within your personal infrastructure, the tie on, then it could relate back to the plumber that installed it or something like that. You're right.
So, I mean, it finally wound up being a lawsuit with the city. It was a totally different issue. That would just happen to be one of the parts of the lawsuit. But it really got ugly until they finally put a whole new sewer line in. And I had my elderly father-in-law living with us and who was afraid to go to the bathroom. I was ready to go to the city and say, come put a porta potty in my driveway, because if it rained, we couldn't go to the bathroom. We couldn't
yeah.
wash clothes.
And yeah, and
I'm
I think,
very well aware of local laws, so I'm glad that you brought this issue up, and I hate seeing Alabama smeared just because we happen to be a red state.
No, I completely agree.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Linda. I appreciate the call, and we are up against a break, so let's go ahead, Copper, and move towards that break. I ran a little bit longer to make sure I got Linda's call, but she's not wrong. I mean, that's a slightly different tack. I mean, right now what you've got is 60 Minutes talking about people who chose not to have a septic tank or not to put one in correctly, and now they want someone to pay to fix it for them. In this case, she's talking about sewer lines that were run by the municipality, so there is a duty to provide services that are efficient and reasonably and customarily accurate in the way that they're handled. A little bit different. I defended a lawsuit just like what she's talking about once. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll come right back and jump right back on that third part of the Triple Dipper I want to get back to. Joe Manchin killed off the BBB. We'll talk about it when I get back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. By the way, you may be wondering what you're going to do for Aunt Jane, who's got everything in the world. You don't know what to buy her for Christmas. Or maybe it's your clients who you're thinking, here I am in the last week before Christmas. What do I do for those clients who've been, you know, so important to my business and I forgot to get them something to thank them? Well, listen, I'm just telling you right now, Alabama Pecan Company is the way to go. You might want to consider. They've got ready-made gift baskets on their website. They've also got custom gift baskets they'll build to order, and they will ship them direct to the recipient without you having to worry about it. Those gifts get under the tree. They take care of all the fuss and the muss. Alabama Pecan Company, their website is Alabama Pecan Co. That's C-O. AlabamaPecanCo.com. Check them out. See whether or not there's something there. And just, I mean, keep in mind, too, you can still order it and get it to them before New Year, before Christmas still. But you might want to give someone a New Year's gift. Just say, welcome to the new year. I'm just saying, AlabamaPecanCo.com. That's the Alabama Pecan Company. And they will square you away. All right, I got a couple minutes before the break. You know, I ran along a minute ago to get Linda's call, and I'm glad I did because she was spot on. But hey, listen, on this thing about the Build Back Better, and we're going to continue the role here after the next break. But what's really interesting, Charlene told me this morning, she saw on Twitter that someone said, well, it appears that the Democrats just got John McCain'd, which I thought was pretty funny because it's true. If you remember, John McCain was literally the swing vote on repeal of Obamacare. And he did the infamous walk up and gave the thumbs down and turned around and walked away while McConnell stared at him. Now, I don't think for a second that McConnell didn't know he was going to do that. I don't. I find it a little suspect. In this case, though, we knew all along that Manchin was having trouble. Manchin was saying, well, it doesn't matter. The libs are freaking out. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like freaking out. And so, like, here's some examples. So I just told you a minute ago, then you heard the clip, the audio clip was Joe Manchin saying, this is a hard no. This is a no. I can't get there. I've done everything humanly possible, Manchin said. And he said, but this is a no. I've tried everything I know to do. Well, immediately the White House comes out. Jen Psaki comes out yesterday afternoon. I mean, they did not even hesitate. They issued a statement, scathing statement. Fox News says, Psaki slams Manchin's sudden and inexplicable reversal. Sudden and inexplicable? Have they not been paying attention? Joe Manchin's been telling you for a while, Joe Biden. He's been telling you, what do you got? Because I can't find anything that tells me I should vote for this. Well, it gets deeper. And I only had a moment here to tease you with this, but let me just say, when we get back, let me tell you what's happening with the media and with the squad and with Bernie, because you talk about having a freak out. Listen, y'all, I mean, right now, here's one example. One pundit is saying this is the end of the future of democracy. That's how bad they're freaking out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, going into the last half hour of the day. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And I got to tell you, I know it's 4:35. Some of you guys can smell the barn. I mean, you are literally thinking it is time to get the car keys and start moving towards the door. Well, 5 o'clock is almost here, and the go home traffic is already getting cranked up. And let me just tell you, if you're thinking, okay, the day's over, I'm going to stop and get something to eat on the way home or take it with me or whatever, I want to suggest something to you that you may not have thought of. Just Love Coffee Cafe. So yes, they have coffee. Yes, they have great coffee. They have all the best roasts. They've got the beans they can grind for you right there if you want them to. They can also make the cappuccinos, the macchiatos, the espressos, all that. But beyond that, they've got a breakfast, lunch, and dinner menu that'll blow your socks off. I'm just saying, you ought to try them out. If you like breakfast for dinner, you can do that with get a womlet, which is a beautiful omelet made in a waffle iron, which is kind of cool. Or you can get some of their wraps or their sandwiches or their salads. They've got good food. They've got two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison and the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Both locations can serve your needs. You might want to stop in the morning on the way in and get that great cup of coffee or something sweet to take with you to work. I'm just telling you, folks. Just Love Coffee Cafe. It is an incredible place for coffee, but so much more. It's a cafe where you can sit and enjoy time, use their Wi-Fi, visit with friends. It's worth it. Just Love Coffee Cafe, Hughes Road in Madison, South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. All right, finishing up this segment, I'm also going to open the phones up. So finishing up the segment right now, the phone lines are 866-494-9866 if you want to call in. I said that I had some things here that the press has been saying. Well, yeah, the press has been saying a lot. I mean, the mainstream media is freaking out. They thought they were going to get all this stuff, right? All this stuff was going to happen. The Build Back Better plan was going to be built. And we'll have everything to talk about. We'll have the Climate Conservation Corps. That'll be cool. We'll be working on climate change. That'll be cool. It'll be tree equity for all the big cities. That'll be cool. We'll enhance entitlements, and we'll do all this stuff, and we'll spend things that we've never spent before. Woohoo! No. And then Joe Manchin came in and grinched their Christmas, man. I mean, grinched it hard. Joe Manchin, in his own words, said, this is a no. And so, literally, right now, here's some things. Of course, Jen Psaki issued her scathing statement immediately, saying that Senator Manchin's comments this morning on Fox are at odds with his discussions this week with the president. No, I doubt it. I bet what happened was they had inflated expectations and they couldn't keep up with it. All right. But then the other piece of this is you've got things that are being said by media pundits. For instance, MSNBC's Mehdi Hasan tweeted out, what's worse, that Manchin is killing the Biden legislative agenda and perhaps the future of American democracy too? Or that he wasted most of this year dragging the whole thing out to do it? I got news. He's been telling you all along. You wouldn't let it go. The future of American democracy is at risk. I mean, come on, Hasan. And really? How about Washington Post's Jennifer Rubin? She says, if Manchin is no on both the BBB and voting, Biden is done. Democracy is hanging by a thread. Hard to think of anyone more destructive. Jennifer Rubin. Troll. All right, then you've got Carl Bernstein. He came on CNN's Reliable Sources, and he implied that Manchin's vote could drastically affect American democracy in his refusal to eliminate the filibuster rule. He already said it was a huge setback. And then you got the Daily Beast. A guy named Wajahat Ali tweeted out, an entire nation of more than 330 million hijacked and screwed by corporate greed and lobbyists who own a man who represents a state of 1.8 million people. I hope all of this reflects the need for massive structural reform and change. In its absence, we are a shell of a democracy. People, they are having a complete meltdown. Let me go to the phones here. Line 3, Steve from Madison. Hey, Steve, Phil Williams, how you doing today? Did we lose Steve?
Hey, on the mark.
Hey, Steve, start over again, buddy. You weren't quite on the mic yet.
Okay, I said, love your show. Awesome, awesome. As always, on the mark, and you're hitting so many topics. I'm going to throw a freshman on here, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I heard a thing today. Obama had a horrific mileage standard that he imposed on cars, and I've heard, of course, Trump dropped it or relaxed it, and Biden is getting ready to reimpose it. By 2026, some incredibly terrible mileage standards for cars. And my thinking there is, if they can't get us one way, they're going to get us another. They're going to attack gasoline engines that way. Is that what are you thinking? Is that going to be legal? Is that going to hold up? I mean, I guess they can probably do that and get away with it. But
they can. Thought there, brother. No, hey, it's Steve. By the way, thanks for your kind comments about the show. We really appreciate that and appreciate you being in the audience. So. You're right. AOC, the squad's having their meltdown about the Build Back Better bill being voted down now. But one of the things that's happened is AOC is suggesting that the president should do some of this by executive order and by fiat. And you're right. One of the things they try to do is destroy some of the industries in this nation that we've come to rely on. I can tell you right now, the standards he wants to set, my Jeep Gladiator is not going to make it. just not going to make
it. My new truck won't make it.
No. And in fact, most of the nation won't make it. And then they're going to try and try to move us towards electric vehicles, which I get. I don't mind if somebody wants one, but mandating them is different. And I saw a picture the other day, Steve, of somebody on the side of the road. Their electric vehicle had gone dead, and they had a gas-powered generator on the side of the road trying to charge it back up.
Oh,
that tells you everything.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's the kind of thing. Someone I heard the other day say that if they want to control us like we know they do, watch them turn off the electricity tap if they don't want us traveling or going places, you know, everybody stay home now. We're shut down. Okay, no charging stations, or they limit how much charge you can put on. You know,
well, they're already trying
to do electronically.
That is amazing. And by the way, they're already trying to do in some places where they recognize they people pay gas tax at the pump, which pays for roads and bridges. And yep. If you have an electric vehicle, you're not paying that gas tax. And so now they're trying to tax people by the number of miles they drive on the roads by keeping a chip in their car that will tell them what they drove. But, hey, Steve, thanks for the call. I got somebody else on another line, so let me grab it real quick. That's Steve from Madison calling in on Right Side. Hey, line four, I got my friend Kirby from Harvest. Hey, Kirby, how you doing, man? What's up with you today?
Well, fine. Am I speaking clear enough?
Yes, sir, you are.
Okay. I wanted to mention about two items you were talking about. One, you were talking about, you know, all these people who are insisting you get a shot to work here. And one of my good Auburn Christian buddies was in a Bible study with me down there as a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel. His son was working in Montgomery, and his son was working for the Air Force as a civilian, and he had to go because he wouldn't take the shot. The Lord opened a door for him at Daily Wire in Tennessee. He is doing video editing at the Daily Wire, and I just wanted to give a praise the Lord for that.
That's
also
good stuff.
On item number two, I'm glad we've got somebody in the Senate who has guts, even if it's a Democrat. You know, I would sure love it if Mitch McConnell had a fintuple of the amount of guts that guy has. And, you know, I don't understand having a budget where you don't have a top limit based on how much money you've earned. I was brought up as a boy, whatever work I'd done, grass cutting or chores for dad and mom, I would have a certain amount of money on hand, and it was from all the things I had done minus what I'd spent. And I guess my generation, we don't know how you do that. We don't know how you can't balance a budget if you don't have a budget. Does that make sense?
No, it absolutely makes sense. And I tell you, one of the tricks, you know, Alabama, by the way, as a state, is one of those states, one of those few states, that in our state budgets, we do have a balanced budget amendment, which sounds great, but the way the Democrats used to get around it before we took control in 2010, they used to always set the budgets too high, mostly based upon pay raises that the teachers union demanded. And then they would get halfway through the year and have to go into what's called proration, where they say, well, we didn't quite make it. Now we got to cut the budget. But the law said they could not cut salaries. So they had already given the raises. Now they had to keep the raises, which meant they had to cut services in order to accommodate the proration. So I used to always say, if your budget gets prorated halfway through the year, it was never balanced to begin with. You're right, Kirby. You're absolutely right, man. Well, hey, thanks for the call, Kirby. Appreciate you as always. And I'm glad to hear of the praise report on the guy working for Daily Wire. That's one of the resources that I use getting ready for this show. All right, Copper, go ahead and take us to that short break. We'll go ahead and do that and get it out of the way and come back and finish up the day. Phil Williams, a full show here on Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right, and having a good time doing it, by the way. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, I'm just going to wind up this section here. So, Joe Manchin, two perspectives on this, though. Joe Manchin voted no, or actually voted no. He said there will be no vote by him in favor of the Build Back Better legislation. There, I said it better. He said it yesterday on Fox News. Story's out right now that apparently he had been talking to the Biden administration, but that he really didn't, you know, he didn't want to do this, and that the Biden administration issued a statement anyway with his name in it, which he took umbrage with, so therefore he had an interview on the Sunday to clear the air. Well, you know, that's what happens, Mr. Biden, when you get ahead of yourself. Well, two perspectives on this. Number one, story off of a website called Just the News, John Solomon. He points out something. He says, Trump ended his first year with a big tax cut win. Biden finishes his with a crushing mansion loss. Yeah, that's true. He goes on to say that, you know, buffeted by the Russia scandal that proved to be false, Donald Trump still ended his first year of his presidency on a high note with the passage of historic tax cuts. In contrast, 4 years later, Joe Biden's first year in office is ending with a stunning rebuke from a senator in his own party. Yeah. He goes on to say in this article, and I thought it was interesting, voices on both sides of the political aisle said Sunday that the failures in this BBB situation could be traced to a common problem for the Biden White House, expectation setting. Yeah. I mean, they're asking right now, why did he bother setting a Christmas deadline for a bill like this? He said they say that could be seen as unrealistic and it left an inevitable course to failure. In other words, you had to do it by a certain time. It's just like when they, you know, Afghanistan, pull out on a calendar date, not when conditions are met. Well, you work your legislation until you've worked all you can. And then you take what you can get and you move on. But no, they didn't do it. We're going to pass it by so-and-so date. Well, in the meantime, Pelosi got everybody on board down in the House. But the Senate, not so much. And, you know, Republican Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana, who that man's got away with words. This one's not such a euphemism from him, but it just says they made so many promises. What one tries to do is under-promise and over-deliver. They did just the opposite, and they did. But here's the other perspective, and I'll end the whole segment with this. I do find this interesting. The Wall Street Journal. So Charlene pointed this one out to me this morning. The Wall Street Journal, their editorial board, in a piece issued at 6 o'clock last night, says that Joe Manchin has just rescued the Democrats. Think about what I just said. Wall Street Journal editorial board says at 6 o'clock last night, just 3 hours after the interview had been done with Brett Baer by Joe Manchin, in which he said no to the Build Back Better Act, Wall Street Journal issues a piece at 6:01 p.m. last night saying that Joe Manchin has rescued the Democrats. It goes on to say Joe Manchin's decision on Sunday to oppose the Build Back Better Act is a service to the country, sparing it from huge tax increases and new entitlements that would fan inflation and erode the incentive for Americans to work. And paradoxically, here's the point, paradoxically, it is also a blessing for Democrats if they get the message, and it offers President Biden a chance to reboot. Now, they didn't like the bill. Don't mistake this as being sympathetic to the Biden administration on this bill. They didn't like it. But what they point out here is, hey, Democrats, basically I'm summarizing here, hey, Democrats, you guys have allowed the progressive wing of your party to so exploit the fact that you have control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency by over-promising and underperforming that it's time for y'all to take a lesson from this. Perhaps Joe Manchin has rescued you from yourselves and given you a chance before the 2022 midterms to do something that people can actually identify with. I don't know of a majority of anywhere in the history of anywhere that wanted a climate conservation corps or that believed that tree equity was the most important thing for our nation right now or that believed that we should be paying people to not go to work or that we should extend spending into deficits and to develop more entitlement programs. No. Bernie Sanders, who's, of course, having a freak out right now, blaming Manchin, saying he's going to have to explain to the people of West Virginia. No, he's not. People of West Virginia already get it. It's a largely conservative state. Joe Manchin's one of the anomalies. He's a Democrat getting elected in a largely conservative state. I mean, we had Senator Doug Jones down here a few years ago, which was, you know, there was a lot going on to make that happen anyway, besides just the usual elections. But nonetheless, we were a red state with a Democrat senator. That's West Virginia. Well, Bernie Sanders, has demanded that there be an up or down vote on the Senate floor. Well, Joe Manchin, I didn't play you that part of the clip. Joe Manchin says, do it. Vote on it and be done. Quit talking about it. I've been telling you for months, just go ahead and vote on it. He's a no. But as he says, as we've written, the editorial board at Wall Street Journal says, As we've written, bring it on. Make Senate Democrats running for re-election in 2022 vote on it, but don't be surprised if a vote like that never happens. They don't want to be on the record. They don't even want to go back to California and explain this. It goes on to say that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi had her members vote to pass tax increases and a $5 trillion in spending that would not even become law. And she had promised all of her swing district members she wouldn't do that, but she did anyway. And now they're sitting there poised, looking at her going, oh, thanks, Nancy. Whereas up in the Senate, they're like, well, hey, thanks, Joe. Appreciate you. Says the silver lining for Democrats is that this gives them a chance to face political realities before they jump off a cliff. The Democrat left must now confront the limits of their power. Mr. Sanders and Elizabeth Warren thought that they could bully their agenda through a 50-50 Senate, though they had both lost to Mr. Biden in the 2020 primaries. Their failure to narrow their ambitions is what doomed the bill. This is a chance for Democrats to reboot. We'll see if they do. Have they learned a lesson? I'm curious. Well, listen, tomorrow I got some ideas for the show already. I may be taking a poll. Go ahead and prepare your mind for this. I may be taking a poll. Is it wrong to fake a vaccination card, or is it more wrong to force a vaccine mandate? There's a thought for you. Which one has least amount of morals attached to it? Faking a vaccine card or forcing a vaccine mandate? That's going to be interesting. We'll take that one up tomorrow and just see what you have to say. I want to know. Start thinking now. Weed through that one in your mind, because I know I got some right side ruffians out there that do have opinions. I know you do, because you call in and tell me and you email me. We get great audience response from this show. Hey, listen, folks, it's been a great day. Thanks for being with us. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 5 p.m. Copper and I both probably have some guests on the show with us. And coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night.